All right, it's February 3rd, 1994, and I'm Tom Staley. I'm working with the Florida Folklife Bureau on the Central Florida Folklife Survey, and I'm in Leesburg, Florida right now talking with Mr. Stokes, who presently owns and built the Stokes Fish Company in Leesburg, and he's going to give a history about the company and the fishing business, and we'll probably discuss a little bit about fishing after he's through talking and reading his summary here.
Well, that's saying my name is Burl Stokes Sr.
Right.
This is going to be recording everything now. How loud do I have to speak?
That's fine. Right?
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
That it,
right? Mm-hmm.
Jobs were very scarce. Me and three more fellas left Lakeland, where I lived. In 1930, come to Lake County to catfish. In the lakes, fishing was not too good. Left Lake County, went to Lake Panasoffkee. At that time, fishing was better. Am I talking too loud? Then we could not find a market locally. So I went to work to try to find a market for the fish up the country. And through the Chamber of Commerce and other sources, I found a market in Illinois, Missouri, mostly Chicago, Kansas City, and St. Louis, shipped by express from Panasoffkee in barrels. Did not know how to pack them properly and lost a lot from spoilage.
Let me ask you some questions here. How did you get in the fishing business, Mr. Stokes?
Well, that's it right here.
were you fishing up in Georgia?
No.
Where you originally came from?
Never fished up.
And how old were you when you first started fishing here?
Well, I was in my early 20s. I don't know exactly. It had to be a 22, somewhere right in there.
How did you get the idea to come down? You were living in Lakeland at the time. You moved from Georgia to Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get the idea? Did somebody talk you into going up to Lake County to fish?
Not really. We just knew there's a lot of lakes up in water.
And there were people fishing in these lakes at that time?
Yeah, some, yeah.
What were they doing with the fish?
Well, there wasn't very many dealers to sell them to. That was our problem. We couldn't find a place to sell them. So I went to work and developed some markets up in the Midwest out there and went to shipping them by express in barrels. And of course, later we went to the express, went out. There was no express service, and we had to truck them. Up there by truck.
You have a picture on your wall here of the fish processing plant. I guess it was back in the 30s?
That'd be late 30s, maybe.
Late 30s. And at that time, you were packing fish in the old wooden barrels.
Right.
And you'd pack, I guess, a layer of fish and a layer of ice, and
mm-hmm.
a layer of fish and a layer of ice. Is that
right? Right.
That's what it looks like in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about the problems that you first had when you started packing these barrels of fish and sending them up to Illinois and Missouri.
Well, in the summertime, it's so hot, the ice just wouldn't stay in there. And then I went to line them with newspaper, good and heavy, line them real heavy with newspaper to insulate the barrels. And that solved the problem pretty good. That helped to hold the ice to put them on the market.
And it took, how long did it take to get the fish up to the Illinois area and the Missouri area?
Generally about 2 days and nights delivery, mm-hmm. About 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. And was that primarily catfish?
Primarily catfish, you're right.
Were the catfish, did you process the catfish before you packed them in ice?
Oh yeah, they were all dressed, ready for the pan. Fishermen done most of the dressing back then.
And they would sell the fish directly to you already dressed?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. once you go ahead there, you get a little thing to read.
In 1932, I came to Leesburg, rented an old tin garage, at 609 East Main Street, where I am today. By then, I had more market, and I went to Lake George, bought a seine. They could was allowed to seine in Lake George and Okeechobee at that time, but not in these lakes. Bought a seine and had some fishermen to catch me more fish.
Was seining a very effective, at that time, was probably the most effective way of getting fish?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't too old a method, but it got more popular and popular as time went on. And later years, there was a lot of fish caught with seines out of Lake George. A lot of them. Tail market. Went to Crystal River, bought mullet and other saltwater fish. Paid 3 to 4 cents a pound for mullet. Retailed them for 3 pounds for 25 cents. Today they are retailing for $1.40 a pound. That's pretty
amazing good. Difference.
Increase, yeah. Well, if you figure out, a lot of things have increased that much in the last 60 years. See, we're talking about 60 years or better. Really.
Was there much of a market for mullet back then?
No, not like the art it was later, but the market increased, picked up more and more, but they couldn't fish over there very, maybe 1 or 2 days a week, where there's a lot of fish, and the markets wasn't that plentiful, so they just catch all they could sell, and they had to quit. Fish maybe 2 days a week. But then it got better and better as time went on. The main market for mullet and them saltwater fish that produced over there was some in Florida, but mostly Georgia, Alabama, and Carolinas. That's where most of the market was developed. Georgia and the Carolinas was a very good market. We had no freezer in 1949. We had no freezer. But in 1949, we built a freezer and a locker plant. By then, express service was gone. We had to ship by truck altogether. In 1962, we built more freezer room. We can store today about 500,000 pounds. And we're shipping in about 30 states by truck and air combined. We're having to buy lots of import fish to fill orders. They are flown into Miami. We pick them up by truck. In 1950, I hired Mr. Bobby Hogan. Do you want all that? He was a manager, formerly was the manager of the Market Inn supermarket here in Leesburg. He was excellent help. In 1960, my son, Burl Jr., got out of Air Force service and come in to help us. And in 1970, Mr. Harley Gallagher, formerly A&P manager of the meat department, was our plant manager until he retired about 3 years ago.
So he was with you 18 or 20 years?
Yeah, about 18, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was excellent help. Mrs. Janet Jones, our office manager, had been with us about 20 years. She is excellent help. My younger son, Bill, come in to help Burl Jr. after 1985 freeze, as he was in orange grove production and caretaking business. He'd been wonderful help to Burl Jr. As far as I got.
Let's talk a little bit about how fishing has, how the fish have been caught over the years. When you first came down here when you first started fishing in the early 1930s, people were using boats primarily.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of, what means were they using to catch fish at that time?
There was a trot line in the lakes. Mm-hmm. But in Lake George and Okeechobee, they could use them seines, nets. They call them seines, and there's a gill net, and trammel nets, there's different kinds of nets. Mm-hmm. But just Lake George and Okeechobee is the only two waters that could use nets in. Mm-hmm.
Scott, call intercom 303. Scott, call 303.
Why was it allowed in Lake George and Lake Okeechobee and not other lakes? Was it because those are larger lakes, and they figured that the seining could...
I think that would be proper.
The seining's a very effective way of catching fish, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there was a bigger body of water, and there's fish there that needed to be gathered up.
Mm-hmm. How much trapping was there?
There was some trapping.
Back then. Were they made out of chicken wire traps?
Yeah, that's right.
Did you ever get in the business of selling or manufacturing traps?
Not really.
Do most of the cat fishermen manufacture their own traps?
Yeah, they made their own traps, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other ways of... how about trawling? Your son, Sonny, told me about trawling for fish.
There was some. That wasn't real popular, but there was some of that done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You include that with a net.
Yeah.
Net fishing.
Yeah.
Gill netting, I guess, and all.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of any? How about gigging? Did you ever know of any people that gig fish or caught fish in any other ways?
Well, there wasn't too much gigging. I think mostly it might have been unlawful. Wasn't supposed to gig them, I don't believe. And there wasn't much of that done anyway. But frog legs, now about 1935, frog legs come in very strong. We had a lot of water. And a fellow Neuenfeld from Detroit, Michigan, come down here and helped a bunch of people, farmers and things like that, right here in Lake County and Sumter County, showed them how to gig frogs. That's the way they call frog legs, gig them. And we handled a lot of frog legs back there for 15 or 20 years, but the last 10 years there haven't been no water. The water's been low.
Mm-hmm. So the frog industry's kind of dropped down then, huh?
Very much.
Are frogs raised commercially to some extent?
Well, they are over in Japan and China, maybe, yeah. But they have tried it here, but not too much success for some reason. I don't know. Very little.
Did you ever get in the business of trading crawfish at all?
Crawfish?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we handle crawfish, yeah.
You do handle crawfish,
yeah.
Right now?
Lobsters and crawfish.
Lobsters and crawfish. Where do the crawfish come from? I guess it would be the freshwater crawfish.
No, the ones we handle is out of the Keys mostly.
So they're saltwater lobsters?
Yeah, that's right.
But you don't handle the...
not too much.
Louisiana.
Now, there's crawfish in Louisiana. We have handled some of them, but not too many.
Is there, at the present time, there's not much market for crawfish in Florida? Then,
well, not here with us. They don't seem to be.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about how... How did the catfish farming industry, when did it start coming into popularity, and how has it affected the catfishing, catfishing and catfish trapping business? How has the fish farming affected those?
Well, they started back here. Gosh, it must have been 25 years ago. I was at the first convention the catfish farmers ever had in New Orleans. I was at that convention.
What year was that? 25 years ago would have been about 1970,
69? Yeah, 70. It could have been more than that. Now, I just can't remember what year it was. But I'm just saying it had to be 25 years ago.
Were people excited about catfish farming at that time?
Well, there's money people in it that had wanted to make an investment, I reckon. Horse racing farmers and people that had plenty of money. And they put in farms and they raised catfish.
And you never got involved in it yourself?
Not really, no.
Do you process fish from catfish farms now?
No.
Scott, line two. Scott,
we have bought a few farm fish, but not very many. We have mostly the wild fish out of the lakes.
Uh-huh. Is there any particular reason for that? Is there a reason that you handle the wild fish?
Well, mainly we wanted to take care of our regular fishermen, and we had markets that really rather have our wild fish. They was used to them, rather have them than the farm fish, some of our customers.
So there's a demand for wild catfish?
Oh, yeah.
There's a demand for catfish?
Oh, we sell all we can get. Yeah, we buy all we can get now. All over the state, we got a place in Okeechobee, over in Sanford, and did have a place in Green Cove Springs up there, but we've discontinued it. Used to get a lot of fish up there in Georgetown at on Lake George. So it's been a lot of changes. We're not getting nothing like the catfish we got 15 years ago.
Scott, you have a call on line two. Scott, line two.
We got a lot of fish, catfish, 15, 20 years ago.
But not so much now. Huh?
Not near as many.
Do you process fish right here at the plant in Leesburg?
We do some, not much. What we do is process them. We freeze them. But they done dressed, you know, when they come in here.
Do the fishermen usually dress their own fish before they get to you?
Yeah, mostly do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you send trucks around to catfish farm, to fishermen's houses and pick up the fish directly?
We used to, not as much now as we used to. We did used to.
How did the fish get from the fishermen to you then?
Now you mean?
Yeah.
Most of them just brings them in when you catch them.
So are you dealing mostly with local people around the Leesburg area?
Yeah, that's
There's
right.
still quite a lot of catfishermen around this area.
Well, nothing like it used to be. Mm-hmm. But there's some. We're getting quite a few, but could use more sometimes. And sometimes get more than we want.
Tell me a little bit about the types of boats that these catfishermen use over the years. When you first started fishing in the 30s for catfish, what kind of boats were they using back then?
Well, there's a regular rowboat, of course, with a kicker on it. Well, no, wait a minute. In the 30s, they didn't have no kickers. They had a row.
Everything was rowed.
Rowed, mostly, yeah. Very, very few kickers. Very few. Mostly rowed, paddling.
Did two people go out on a boat, or was it one person, usually one person by
himself? Well, sometimes there's two, and a lot of times one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were the boats like? Tell me a little bit about the boats. How big were they, and what were they made of?
Well, they were just regular wooden boats, plywood mostly.
Did they have a particular
14 foot long.
12, 14 foot long. Mm-hmm. Did they have a particular kind of shape?
Well, it's just shape of a boat mainly, but no particular kind. We had one fella, that fella Gillis, that made a lot of boats for the cat fishermen's. And he made a good boat, and everybody liked it. He sold a lot of them.
Where did he manufacture those boats from?
I think he rode them around Winter Garden there for a long time.
Right near Orlando, then, huh?
Yeah, between here and Orlando.
And were they wooden boats?
Yeah, yeah, wooden boats.
Did he make them always out of wood, or did he change to fiberglass over the
years? I don't know if he ever changed that or not. If he did, it's just been recent years, and I don't really know.
Was that style of boat different from a regular rowboat? Now, one of them had a higher bow that came up, kind of swept up.
Yeah, he made a little change in some of them, his boats, than a regular rowboat, I guess. Mm-hmm. A little bit different.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that they were real good for being out on rough water.
Yeah, yeah, they take a lot of rough water.
Good fishing boat. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason they're so popular with them, I guess.
Yeah. Did people usually keep their boats down on the lake at that time?
Yeah, mostly on the lake, yeah.
They didn't trailer them like they do today.
No. Yeah. No.
So you trotline fished when you first started fishing?
Oh, just a little bit to start off with.
How did you get from the fishing more into the fish supply business? How did you get into the fish supply business? Were you just more of a businessman than a fisherman?
Well, like I said here, we didn't have no market for them, and I went to work to try to find a market, and went shipping them through Chamber of Commerce and other sources. We got a hold of fish markets, fish distributors up there and out in Midwest, St. Louis, Kansas City, and Chicago was our biggest outlets at that time.
Did they buy all the fish you could send to them?
At that time they did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you packed these fish in these barrels, did you buy the barrels yourself?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were made locally down here.
Yeah, it was used barrels. There was other stuff shipped to them at one time.
Mm-hmm. They'd been maybe whiskey barrels, yeah, or nail barrels, or whatever.
Vinegar and stuff
kegs
like that.
Or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah. And when you ship these barrels up to areas like Chicago and Missouri, Kansas City, or St. Louis, or wherever they went, then you lost the barrels. You never got.
Well, there was a special rate on them at the express company give us to send them back. So they returned a lot of them, but a lot of them we never did get. But they did return some of them. But a lot of them we didn't get.
Mm-hmm. And now when you ship seafood out from Leesburg by air, it usually goes out from where? Which airport?
Orlando.
Orlando,
yeah.
Airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Fish moves around the country, in fact, around the world now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we used to have a pretty good market in Denver, Colorado. Of course, we had to ship them there by air. Mm-hmm. But way back then, there was lots more fish than we got today. A lot of people think the sports fishermen have caught them all, but I don't think they have. I think the pollution has got a lot of them. The water's just polluted, and they're not producing like they used to. I think that's got something to do with it.
You mentioned there was also a fish market in Jacksonville. There was one. There is still a Thomas Fish Company down in Eagle Lake, down in Polk County.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're your competitor now down there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other major businesses around that still deal in wild catfish?
Very few. They send out pretty much.
Uh-huh. So you're one of the major companies, yeah. and the Thomas Fish Company down in Eagle Lake is still doing it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I just don't know. I haven't been too active in here in the last 6 or 8 years. And I'm not up on it too good, but I know They're not too many.
Can you tell me a little bit about the catfish? You sell catfish cake, which is used in trapping catfish.
Well, it's a bait that we use to catch catfish. It's soybean cake pressed up in a cake form, and you got some chips. It's pressed in a chip form about the size of your hand. And they put them in a trap, and the fish comes to it. They like that for feed, food.
When did you start selling that cake, that soy cake?
Well, we've been selling that a long time. I don't know, 30, 40 years.
And you sell that by the bag, probably, what is
mostly,
it, probably
yeah.
A 100-pound bag?
Yeah.
Burlap bag full of it, huh?
They sell about a pound, yeah.
Are there any other things that you sell in the way of equipment or feed or bait or whatever for catfishing?
Well, we sell trot line and hooks and lines.
Are they made up?
No, mostly they have to make them up.
Do most of the fishermen make up their own trot lines?
Most of them, yeah.
Can you buy a pre-made trot line?
Well, there are a few that make them up for other people, yeah.
How did the fishing retail business go during the World War II period?
World War II? Well, we talk about shrimp if you want to. Mm-hmm. When I started here, I was daresome to, of course, we didn't have no freezer, daresome to buy over 25, 30 pounds of shrimp at a time. There just wasn't no market for them. A lot of people didn't know what it was. They didn't like them and all like that. So it went along, and when the war broke out and the boys all went to service, the government fed them a lot of shrimp in these, in their food, you know, fed them. Shrimp. And they got out of service and got back and got scattered around. Shrimp business picked up. They like shrimp. And they went to buy shrimp. That started the shrimp market.
Now they're quite popular.
Yes, sir. They're very popular.
Probably sell all the shrimp you can get.
Yeah, they're very scarce. Hard to get. Mm-hmm. I can remember a shrimp that we're selling here for $8 or $9 a pound right now that I could buy 15 cents a pound back in the early 30s. 15 cents a pound. Unbelievable.
Do you buy, you still buy your shrimp locally, or does it come from foreign suppliers?
Well, we get them in where we can.
Steve, line one. Steve, line one.
Anywhere we can, mostly. When we can find them, over here on the East Coast, the best shrimp we got. All the way from, up at Brunswick, Georgia, down to the Cape. All that coastline is. But you only catch them about 3 months out of a year. That's mostly October, November, and December. Can we play that back before you leave?
Sure.
I'd like to hear it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much.
Well, glad to help you.